1 o'clock hour, Jace, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Broadcasting live at Pete and Terry's Tavern at Bridgestone Arena, Predators and Blues. Later on tonight, we'll have pregame coverage with Max Herz coming up at 6. But now we say hello to our pal, Elliot Friedman, Sportsnet, Hockey Night in Canada, the author of the 32 Thoughts. Elliot, what's up?
Not a whole heck of a lot. Just keeping an eye on my waiver claims here. Kiefer Bellows, claimed by Philadelphia.
Wow.
Okay, so a little bit of a
surprise there.
Yeah, a little bit of a surprise move.
He was a first-round draft pick a couple of years ago, and, you know, it didn't work out for the Islanders, and I think a lot of us were kind of surprised to see him on waivers yesterday. So Philly gets an interesting little reclamation project there. Interesting stuff. Maybe only to me, but I find it interesting.
Well, it's actually an interesting segue because John Hines is going to shake things up a little bit tonight. Cody Glass is going to be in the top six playing with Mikael Granlund and Nino Niederreiter for the Predators. And you want to talk about a reclamation project, that's kind of what Cody Glass has been. He makes the team out of training camp, goes overseas with them. I think he's done okay thus far, but what do you think about that, giving him some time in the top six?
Well, it's a huge opportunity for him. There's no question. And, you know, actually, it's funny that it kind of happens today, because yesterday I was having a conversation with someone about that three-way trade. And you look at it, and Ryan Ellis may never play again. Nolan Patrick never play again. And we're on, and now you guys still have a chance here with Glass to be the one team that gets something out of this deal. And, you know, I've been looking through, like, kind of what's been happening with your team the last few games, and it's very clear that one of the problems is getting that second line to work. And so this is a huge opportunity for him, and maybe one of the best opportunities he's had in his career.
So as we get into November, and, you know, I still think it's too early to tell with some teams. I put the Predators in this category of who's good, who's not, who needs work, what have you. But you know how this goes, that as you go along in the next few weeks, some coaches' seats are going to get hot, and that means that Barry Trotz is sitting out there right now. So the Barry Trotz sweepstakes could begin. What's kind of the scuttlebutt from his point of view? I know he's talked a little bit. He was here for David Poile's 3,000th game the other night, but whether he could jump back in this year or if he's truly content on sitting out and seeing what happens.
Well, I think that, you know, the one thing that I think he needed was to recharge. You know, I had some conversations with some people in the island after last season, and it's very clear to me that that was a really hard year. That was a really difficult and challenging year there. And, you know, one of the reasons is, as you guys know, like, there are some places that were a bit more loose during the pandemic, and there were some places that weren't. And New York State was pretty tough, and I think that what a bunch of coaches and players told me was, if you were in a place or a location that was a little more relaxed, he didn't say it was easier to coach, but it was a lot better on your mental health. And I just think that last year, they had a big road trip to start the season. They had a big outbreak on their team that they kind of had to play through because they were opening a new building. Like, a few guys just told me that was that year, that last year in New York, the stress was off the charts. And I think he needed a break. Even though there were a ton of teams that were really interested in him, he absolutely needed a break. Now, I think the biggest question is, how long does he want to wait? You know, last summer, some of the teams I know that talked to him, they really felt he wasn't in a great frame of mind to coach. I think the biggest question is going to be, when is he ready? And because I don't think it's going to be too long till we start seeing some teams talk about changes.
Now, Elliot, when do you, from your experience, when do you, as a head coach or a GM, when do you sort of look to Milwaukee or look to your minor leagues for players or to bring up players? Because I asked Paul that question earlier in the week, and obviously for him, he was like, listen, it's too early in the season, basically, to try to do that. Maybe we try to do some things, you know, with the team that we have first, with the guys, move some guys around before we think about bringing guys up from Milwaukee. But from your experience, when is that? Is it more so filling, or is it like games, 15 games into the season, 20 games into the season?
I think it comes down to when someone deserves the call and when you have an opportunity. Like for example, like I'm sure that you're probably talking a little bit about like a guy like Tomasino and mm-hmm. things like that. But like in Toronto here, there was a player, Nick Robertson. He deserved to make the Maple Leafs at the start of the year, and he didn't because of their cap and waiver situation. They sent him down, and I didn't think it was right, but they did it. And what happened was they got an injury, which gave them some cap flexibility, and he got called right back up, and I don't think he's going right back down. The difference, I think, Derek, with a guy like Tomasino is it sounds like, and you guys are closer to this than I am, but everything I've seen is he kind of played himself off the team. And I think that when you are in that situation, you don't get the call back until you're ready, until you've proven to them that whatever happened in preseason, you've overcome that and you're on your way back. Now, I think that's generally the plan, but I would say this. If this continues, you guys know David Poile. He's not going to let this linger. He'll find something, whether it's big or small, to kickstart the group.
Talking to Elliot Friedman, 32 Thoughts is the podcast. He works with Hockey Night in Canada. Elliot, I got a chance to see Caleb Joseph at Mike Fisher's Celebrity Clay Shoot. Now, how Tennessee is that for you, Elliot? Mike Fisher's Celebrity Clay Shoot. Caleb Joseph was on hand, but he really enjoyed meeting you and your crew when you guys were in action on Saturday night.
You know, first of all, I have done clay shooting in my past. I probably would not win Mike Fisher's celebrity event. I would guess that I would not be the best shooter there. But I have done it, and I do like it. Caleb came into the room. First of all, we all think he looks like Peyton Manning. Like, we've had people who saw him on TV for the first time and are like, what is Peyton Manning doing on our air? And then we realize it's Caleb and it's not Peyton Manning. But the second thing is, like, I have to tell you, so we did a tour recently where I had to do a lot of driving, and I was listening to Caleb on the radio with Ben Wagner, who's our Blue Jays radio play-by-play up here, and they're really good. And I told Caleb would say some things where, like, you know how you hear something on the radio and you're like, what was that? And you're kind of looking at the radio while you're driving. Like, Caleb had a few moments like that, and he seemed a bit sheepish. I said, no, I think it's great. Like, I think you really say some interesting things. I think he's got a really bright future, and he seems like a really nice guy.
He's a great guy. For those that don't know, Caleb grew up here, great baseball player for Lipscomb University, Franklin High School, played a long time, mostly with the Orioles, but ended up his career in Toronto, is now doing some radio and TV work up in Toronto for the Blue Jays. So, Elliot, let's look at tonight's game. The St. Louis Blues are in town, won the first three, lost last night, a tough game against the Oilers. I didn't know a whole lot about Stuart Skinner, but, man, he was amazing. That getting great goaltending for the Oilers, man, that's gravy right there. But give us the issues for the Blues right now in your mind.
Well, I think their identity is a little bit different. Like, when they won the Stanley Cup in 2019, they were a skilled team, but they were also a mean team. Like, there was a lot of edge there. Like, their coach, Craig Berube, like, there aren't a lot of guys who played 1,000 games in the NHL doing the role that Craig Berube did. Like, just a tough, tough player who was a fighter. And, you know, he doesn't demand fighting out of his players, but if you're not going to win battles and you're not going to physically and mentally challenge yourself and your opponents to a high level, he's not going to be happy for you. or happy with you. And I just think that this team this year, you know, if you kind of look at them, they're not as big on defense as they've been in the past. They're not quite as physical a team as they've been in the past. And, like, their next group of young players is starting to take over, and they're very talented, but they're not as mean. And I just think that the Blues, the goalie, Binnington, looks terrific. That's big for them. But I know that in the past few years, if you went in to play St. Louis, you knew that win or lose, you were going to finish that game with some bumps and bruises. They just don't have that same identity right now, and I think it's something they'd like to get back to.
Give it your thoughts from afar. You look at the scores, you see Roman Josi has no goals and one assist.
Yeah.
What's your theory there? I mean, he's getting more shot attempts than virtually anybody in the game. He's getting a ton of them, but the quality isn't quite there. The results haven't been there. It almost looks like he's trying a little too hard to me. But what are you seeing?
Well, I'm sure he is. I like up here, Austin Matthews, who led the league in goals, has won. And everybody's like, what's wrong with this guy? What's happening to Austin Matthews? And for one thing, he had one goal last year in October, and he finished with 60. I never worry about those guys. Maybe that's the wrong answer, but I don't worry about Roman Josi. I know the numbers aren't there. I actually saw the minutes were starting to creep up the last couple of games. I just think that a guy like that is too talented and too good at what he does that's going to continue. I look at this as more of an outlier bad streak as much as I look at anything concerning. And I don't know if he'll get 90 points again, guys, but I think when this is all over, we're going to look back at October and say and laugh that we were so concerned about him.
Elliot, just so you know, Nick, our producer, he wanted you to know that former Pred Ben Harper is on waivers. So I know you keep up with that.
Right.
I want you to know.
Well, he got signed today. He got signed today by the Rangers. And the way that works is that when you're not on an NHL contract and you get signed by a team, that you still have to go through waivers. So that's what that is. So he signed a new contract today, but he has to go through waivers before he can officially join the Rangers.
All right. Well, there you go. Elliot, great stuff as always. Appreciate it. We'll do it again next week.
All right, guys. Have a great weekend.